lower down, and he was commanded to take and partake of things that had previously been listed as unclean. And in that same vision, he was told to go with these men who had come to see him, and they took him to see their leader, their master, Cornelius. And while he was there, Peter has this realization that what God was showing him in this story of the sheet and the unclean food was that there was a gospel truth that was going to be shared with people who were quote-unquote unclean, the Gentiles. It was for everyone. And so we start this week where we left off last week in verse 34. Peter began to speak. This is Acts chapter 10. Peter began to speak, "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judah, beginning in Galilee after the baptism of John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit with power, and now he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, and by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All of the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still teaching and preaching, the Holy Spirit came into the room just as it had done on the day of Pentecost, and the people there in Cornelius' home began to speak in languages, and it was evident that they were true believers. And they rejoiced, and Peter stayed with them for a few days. Now, I've titled today's message, "The Sufficient Gospel," because I want us to look and understand that as the church was established, that the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, was taught and was very clear. So I want us to look today and start with looking at Peter's testimony of the gospel. He says this, "We are witnesses of everything he did." This is not hearsay. This is something that he witnessed. We're on Peter's testimony of the gospel. There's a couple of things about this passage right here that says that they killed him by hanging him on the cross. Here is the gospel in a nutshell. Jesus Christ died on the cross, but he was raised from the dead, and his resurrection was witnessed by many. Now, Peter notes in here, right in this passage, it was not witnessed by all. That day will come. That day will come in Revelation chapter 19 when he comes back, and all of the world will see him, and all of the world will bow to him as Lord and King. But in this moment, he came back to those that Peter said were called to be witnesses, that God had chosen. Jesus died on the cross. He was raised from the dead. He was witnessed by many. The next part of this, he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. Now, here's a few times when I like to go back to the King James. Many of you who remember this passage from the King James will remember the famous line, "the quick and the dead." It sounds much more biblical, doesn't it? But it just is the living and the dead. He is here to come back to judge everyone. He will be the judge. He has fulfilled all prophecy, and everyone who believes in him will be forgiven. That is the message of Jesus Christ. Plain and simple. He died. He rose. It was witnessed. He fulfilled all prophecy in doing this. One day he will return and he will judge all men, the living and the dead. But everyone who believes in him and his name alone will be saved. We have no fear. This week I was reading a blog that asked the question, when I get to heaven, as many people have worried, myself included, that somehow that God will go frame by frame, moment by moment, of each one of our lives and point out, messed up there, tick. Oh, that was pretty good, over here in the good column. And this perception that somehow that that's what's going to happen. But I'm here to relieve that anxiety, if you've ever had that anxiety. Because we just read in this passage from Peter, if we believe in Jesus Christ and He is our Lord and Savior, there is nothing we have to fear. He is sufficient to have wiped away our sins. And I could take you to passages both old and new to tell us that God forgets those blemishes. He does not hold them against us. The very message of Jesus Christ is love and forgiveness. Now, I know a lot of times when we get nervous, right? If we're going to try to present the gospel to people, because they have like a list of probably some objections, right? Starting with like, does Adam and Eve have belly buttons? We're afraid they're going to ask really hard questions like that, right? But the gospel is so simple. Jesus died, He rose again, He will come back, He will judge all of us, but if we believe in Him as Lord and Savior, we have nothing to fear. He will forgive us. It's that simple. God acts in a lot of different ways. And I want to look at this passage in verses 44 and 45. It says that while Peter was still speaking those words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. And it says the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out. And I love this word right here. Even on the Gentiles. Now, there is one thing that I have been amazed about God, that if you look at the Old Testament and the New Testament, you look at nature, is that He will do things to surprise us. I mean, just look at what He would do. Sometimes He would move in and do amazing things, and He would cause the enemies of Israel to turn on themselves and flee without Israel really doing anything. Other times, He would raise up one guy with a handful of others, and they would go around with some broken shards of pottery and some lanterns and scare them away. And other times, He would empower them to actually stand up and fight the fight for themselves. All different ways that God moved to protect His people. You look at nature. He doesn't give us just one tree. There are literally thousands of them, hundreds of thousands of different varieties. He doesn't give us just one animal. He doesn't give us just one people. What if we all looked the same? How boring would that be? What if you all looked like me? It's a beautiful world. No, it would not be a beautiful world. We would be like, oh, God, really? Have you guys tried these the face swap app? And some of you have, if you haven't done, all right, so if you're over 50, find somebody who's like 12 and under. They have it on their phone. It's this app, and what it does is you take two people in the picture, and it swaps their faces. And it comes up with some very interesting looks. And it makes you realize, for instance, Amy and I did this last night, and I don't look good with long hair. Amy doesn't look good with a goatee. And I am thankful for both of those things. But he is constantly surprising us, and he is diverse. God is amazing. And in this moment, he moves, and it says that the circumcised believers, who were these people? These were the Jews who had become believers in Jesus Christ, and they were the traditionalists. And they had pride in that. Right? This is what my grandpa did, and my great-grandpa. And this is how I'm going to do it, and this is going to how my kids are going to do it, and their kids, until the Lord returns. Because we did it one time this way, that's how we're always going to do it. But God surprises them. These established believers were like, wow, God did this for even them. So what does this look like in our lives today? Now, last week I finished the thought of the day with asking you, what is on your sheet? If God was to lower down something and say, these things you have put off to the side to say, oh, I won't touch that, or I won't touch that group of people, I wouldn't go to them. And I ask you today, who would your even be? It says here that they poured out even on the Gentiles. If I was to share with you the testimony of a certain person or group of people that received the Holy Spirit and were gloriously saved and became believers of Jesus Christ and moved into this neighborhood and became a member of this church, you would say, wow, even those people? Now, each one of us have a different people group or person in mind, don't we? Right now, you probably are thinking of them. Let that be a challenge to us. Because whoever that person or people group is, they are a creation of God, and Jesus Christ died for them. Even them. Because chances are that there was at some point in somebody's life that they looked at you or me and said, even he can be saved? Even she can be saved? There must be a God. So don't be surprised when God does things a little different. And if he is surprising you, celebrate the surprise. Don't resist it. Part of the problem is that when we get these kind of surprises, we kind of get critical, don't we? And another thing we see in this passage is that there is always going to be critics of change. Always will be. Acts 11, so Peter has this amazing experience with Cornelius and his family, and the Holy Spirit moved, and he's there. He's like, yay, this is awesome. But then we have Acts 11. Verse 1, the apostles and the believers. Who? The apostles. The ones who followed Jesus and the believers, the Jews in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, heard that the Gentiles, even the Gentiles, had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, they had a little powwow with Peter. They criticized him. And I could just imagine this. Now, you know how this goes, right? A group of the elders or apostles, the leaders, they bring Peter into the home or into the church there, and they sit him down. And whoever had probably the deepest, like James Earl Jones kind of voice, Peter, right? The real gruffy guy. I've heard you've been eating with the Gentiles. Care to explain yourself? And Peter does. And he tells them what happened. When we look at this, what they're saying is, this is how I do it. This is how we do it. It being walking as a Christ follower, walking as a Christian. Now, there is nothing wrong with the way that necessarily the way you do your walk with Christ. But let me warn you, that when you put that expectation immediately on the other person, it may not fit. It's kind of like Saul with David. Do you remember back in the story of David and Goliath, and Saul gave David his armor, and David put it on and tried to walk around. He's like, this is not working. I'm just going out with what I got, the sling and some rocks. You may be an armor-bearing Christian, like Saul was. And there may be another Christian who says, you know what, that armor doesn't fit me. I've got my own way of doing it because I'm still following Christ. And we have to be careful that when we are sitting here and looking at others in the way that they walk at the Christ walk, we don't say, well, how I do it is the only way. Because if you've ever had the experience, and I know many of you in this room have, of experiencing another culture, they do it differently. I've had the blessing of being in a room with people from South Korea and India and Pakistan and Afghanistan and China and America and saying the Lord's Prayer together. And I will tell you, it sounds different. And the person who lived under the oppression of a communist China, who have pastored underground churches with the threat of imprisonment, prays it a whole lot different than a privileged middle-class white guy from Indiana. And he had no right to tell me how I was doing it, or I had no right to tell him how he was supposed to be doing it, because we both had different circumstances in which we lived our lives. And Jesus Christ walked in both of them. We have to be prepared because change is happening. And sometimes when change happens, it won't be the way that we did it. It doesn't make it wrong. It doesn't make it right. Just because it's new doesn't mean it's right, any more than just because it's the way we used to do it makes it right. Praise God that they walked out this path where Jesus became not just for the Jews, but for the Gentiles. Otherwise, we would not be here today. And praise God, somebody took the time to take this Bible that used to be written in Hebrew and Aramaic and Greek and Latin and made it in English. People did things to make the gospel, the truth of Jesus Christ, relevant to each new generation and each culture and each different person. And we should be open to the change. When I was in grade school and I was growing up in church, I never heard my pastor talk about Twitter or Facebook or reference the web page. Right? We had the bulletin, we had the printed newsletter, we had our Sunday school quarterly. But now we have all these new ways. And we have technologies to reach people in new and different ways. I grew up in a church that was a beautiful church, and they had a great tradition. We had a pipe organ that was over 100 years old. It was on the National Registry of Pipe Organs. Nobody plays pipe organs anymore. That doesn't mean that I don't appreciate it. I learned Jesus with the pipe organ just like I can an electric guitar. And I sang praises with that piano and pipe organ just like we do with drums and a bass. It wasn't the instrument. It was the message that was taught, that Jesus Christ and Him alone. As we sang earlier, Jesus loves me. This I know. For why? Because the Bible tells me so. And the Bible is God's word and we can trust it. That did not change. And I make a promise to you right now that as I am pastor of this church, and I know the hearts of the men and women who are on the elders and leadership of this church, that we have a core value. Things, instruments may change, screens, technology, backdrops, painting, lots of things may change in this building. But this word of Jesus Christ will never change, and it will be the core thing that we teach and we preach and we present. Now, how we do it, when we do it, may change. But why and what we present will not. And Peter lets the truth be the proof. Acts 11, 17 and 18. After he tells them what happened at Cornelius' house, Peter says this, "So if God gave them the Spirit, he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way?" This is Peter. Peter, we know through the Gospels we read, he tended to be a little prideful. But here he has humbled himself and he realizes, who was I to stand in God's way? When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, even to the Gentiles, God has granted repentance." Let this be our attitude. Let us not stand in God's way, even if it means to that group, fill in the blank. If that means that people are suffering with alcohol and drugs need to come in here, or sexual addictions, or struggling with problems that most of us feel uncomfortable dealing with, as they encounter Jesus Christ, let us celebrate that even they would receive him. And the reason is because the gospel is sufficient. Now, Peter was doing pretty well right here in Acts. But some breakdown happened, and it comes through the form of peer pressure. Galatians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Paul writes that when he, Peter, first arrived, meaning he first arrived to the Gentile nation, to those who were non-Jews, he ate with the Gentile believers who were not circumcised. But afterward, when some friends of James came, in other words, when some of those guys who were like the traditionalists came back and had another powwow with them, Peter would not eat with the Gentiles anymore. He was afraid of the criticism from these people who insisted on the necessity of circumcision. In other words, what we're talking about here, both in the physical sense of circumcision, but we're also talking about a submission to Jewish law and tradition. As a historical backdrop, let me explain to you that what was going on was that there were belief that you had to become Jewish before you become Christian. There was still a sense that this was the narrow gate, Judaism, not Jesus. And Peter, in his moment of weakness, submits to this criticism, and in fear of that criticism, he stopped associating with the Gentiles. Verse 13, it says, as a result, other Jewish believers followed in Peter's hypocrisy. My challenge to us today is that we must not pollute the gospel. When we do, it weakens the power of what Jesus accomplished on the cross. Now, it might look like in some places that if you really are saved, that you're going to come to church in a suit. None of you all are saved based on that criteria, myself included. If you really are saved, you will have a black leather, red letter, King James Bible. Most of you right now using your phones, hopefully for the Bible app. Would not be saved. And the list goes on and on and on that men have tacked on. Yes, Jesus, plus. I tell you right now, any gospel that uses the plus is not a true gospel. The message is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. We should not submit ourselves to criticism, nor should we follow those who criticize us just because it may not fit some preconceived idea of how church or Christian life should be. Now, there are some core things. We must follow Jesus. We must obey him. We must love one another. There are some fruits of the Spirit that we should be exemplifying. There are gifts of the Spirit which we give in the form of prophecy and teaching and preaching and leadership. All of those things are true and should be manifest, and we can look at that and say, yes, that person is following Christ. But their style of dress, their clothes, their hair length, whether they have tattoos or not, none of that should matter. It is the message of Jesus Christ and that alone. The takeaway from today is this. We need to be clear about the gospel of Jesus, not to add or take away from it. In a world filled with noise, you can't get away from it. When the moment arises and we actually get to present the truth of Jesus Christ, let us not add to it or dilute it, but allow the gospel to stand for what it is. Now, this means that we need to stop telling everyone what we are against and start telling everyone what we are for. This is something that I believe that we all traditionally have had problems with as a church. I grew up learning a lot of the do nots. And they are in there. But we should be preaching the do's. Do love one another. Do care for one another. And what does that look like? It means that we are for life. We're not against abortion. I'm for life. I am not against I'm not against homosexuals and lesbians. I am for biblically based, healthy, God-ordained marriage. Lives that have been scientifically proven to be better, healthier, happier, and longer. I am for sexual purity. The church should be for sexual purity. That's both before and after marriage. Scientifically, this has been proven, much to the surprise to scientists, that there are less disease, less unwanted pregnancy, lower suicide, and generally greater happiness. And above all, we are for love and forgiveness and restoration. And if a person comes and have broken one of those rules or have suffered in the pain of breaking those rules that we just described and lived a life that was not biblical, when they accept Jesus Christ and they move into that forgiveness, we should rejoice and move in that forgiveness with the Lord and forgive them and show them grace and love and mercy. It is not judgment, it is love. It is not hatred or judgment that I tell my child, don't touch the hot stove. It is out of love to prevent them from pain. But the church right now, in this culture, in this day, has the reputation of being hateful and bigoted and mean-hearted, and that is farthest from the truth of what the message of Jesus Christ was about. Yes, Jesus went to the places where sinners and harlots were, but by God, when he left, they weren't the same. They had an encounter with him, and they changed, or he walked away from them. There were two thieves on that mountain that day when he was crucified. One mocked him, and one submitted to him, but he encountered both. And there will be some who live a life of sin, and no matter how much truth you present to them, they will not change. Some of them sit in our churches today. Some of them are out in the world. They have not yet come into the church. They have not yet encountered Jesus Christ. But we have got to have the attitude, not of judgment, not of looking down at people, but we are sinners just as they were, and still struggle with it on a daily basis, and it's only by the sheer grace of God and the mercy of His Holy Spirit that we're able to stand before Him to do something as simple as, "My Father who art in heaven," that we can go to Him and pray to Him and petition Him. Why? Why would we ever add to the simple message that Jesus died for us, rose again, fulfilled our prophecy, is coming back, and when He does, all men will be judged. No exceptions. I don't care if you were quote-unquote good. You will be judged. Here's the judgment. Did you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Yes or no? And as Paul writes, for those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it is sufficient. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for the simple message of your love and your forgiveness, that there is nothing, nothing that we have ever done that is beyond your grace and your mercy. And God, I pray that you would just help us to stay focused on you, to present you and your truth and that alone. Help us not be sidetracked by our own preferences or thoughts. God, help us to see others, both in the church and out, as your creation, men and women in need of your Son's saving grace. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would just empower the people of New Hope to be ambassadors of your truth today. And help us to accept change and surprise as you do a new thing in us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.